This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Buenaderas, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, not of any organization with which we have been, are, or will be affiliated.
This is episode 34, One Way Ticket to Mars, and was recorded Friday, January 25th, 2013.
Hello, and welcome again to another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin. I'm coming to you live from Hungary, and I'm so excited to be back live again on the show with my good friend, co-host, Phaedra Buenaderas. So, hello, Phaedra.
Hello, Michael, and have we got a show for you today, don't we, Michael? We got something good planned.
This is just going to be stellar.
Indeed. Today we're talking about Mars One. You might have heard about this mission. It had been announced not too long ago, but the whole premise is establishing the first human settlement on Mars by the year 2023.
Mm-hmm. And it's mars-one.com, in case you want to be looking this up while you're listening.
Yes. And a few of the most poignant points that I thought would make a good show that I wanted to talk about was not only this whole notion of, can we actually do it, like actually send four humans on a one-way trip to Mars by 2023, but then their entire business model on how they're going to fund such a project is really quite interesting and brings up a lot of ethical question marks. Mm-hmm. For example, do you remember the show, The Truman Show, Michael?
Absolutely. And, you know, given where we live in Chapel Hill, well, when we're not here, I kind of understand The Truman Show, yes.
Front and center your lives.
Yes.
So the whole idea is that they would raise funding through having this be the most spectacular media event ever. In other words, every premise, every moment of the lives of these astronauts, of these Mars pioneers, would be recorded for live entertainment.
Yes, and the thing that kind of jumped into my mind was this is a combination of between Survivor, which I guess it will be eventually in 2023 when they get to Mars, and voting. I guess you vote people onto the island in this case.
Exactly. Yeah, there's multiple rounds. And by the way, this anybody can apply to go on this Mars one-way mission to Mars. So you or I, if we want to, we can go ahead and sign up. The key qualifications, and I looked this up, of what they're looking for in candidates is resiliency, adaptability, curiosity, ability to trust, creativity, and resourcefulness. And oh, by the way, you have to be ready to leave planet Earth and everybody you know behind.
For good.
Yeah, for good. So I don't know what this means, like in terms of personality types. The issue is there's three or four rounds to determine who actually gets to go. But by round three, there's going to be a lineup of nominees and the audience, the TV audience, like, you know, we get to choose on American Idol, we get to choose which one of these pioneers actually gets to go. And there's going to be a group of four. And then every 2 years, they add another group, again, to help increase the population.
So when you think about, you know, all of the MTV shows, you know, of throwing people together into confined quarters and then filming all that happens, you can just imagine, you know, someone being in the chair, you know, saying, yeah, and I can't believe that astronaut number two just did blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I'll get back at them.
Well, what concerns me the most about all of this is the whole notion that what is going to feed this isn't love of science, it's entertainment, right? Which means, wouldn't people naturally choose personalities that would be more entertaining to see out there in a group on Mars, which might not necessarily be the best group? Do you see what I'm saying?
I do, but I guess that's also a level of resiliency, right? Because if they can handle the incredible scrutiny of a worldwide television audience monitoring their every move, I don't know. Maybe that's as good a selection process as some of the others that might be selected. I don't know.
I don't know either. There's a lot of ethical questions in here for me, and it also just makes me wonder, like, people who would leave planet Earth and everything they've known and loved behind, how mentally stable are they to begin with? You know, you've got to wonder. Well, although they'd have instant fame forever.
That's true, and then they probably could, you know, have the first tweet or whatever Twitter might be by that point in time in 2023 from another heavenly body, another planet in our solar system. That could be pretty incredible too.
No doubt.
Now the facts, like you said, they raise, there's a ton of interesting questions in here about how does this work? You know, like, for example, the question on children. You know, could you have children on Mars? And the answer to that in the fact was, well, they strongly suggest that you do not, because there will be very limited medical capabilities.
To begin with. So maybe by group two, when there's six people or eight people, they'll change their minds. I don't know. And then you've got to ask yourself, what is the governing law on Mars? Right? You start, because there's some sort of self-selection. They've had over 1,000 applications before the announcement was even made, right?
Wow.
And so there's some level of self-selection on who's going. So if the type of people who are volunteering to go, what are this group's personality traits more likely to lean towards in terms of law? Made for TV entertainment.
Well, I'm looking at more of this too about, you know, okay, well, what will these people do, right? So arguably the people who are selected are not folks that had been trained for, you know, 20 years to be an astronaut. They're going through, you know, appropriate training as deemed appropriate by the Mars One team. So you know, what will they do? So there's some interesting elements here of, yes, obviously they need to construct and build stuff when they get there. However, you know, that's probably going to be limited to what comes to Mars from the Earth, right? So from a supply ships, it's not like there's necessarily enough raw materials on Mars to actually build more, I'm guessing.
So, exactly.
So once you've built the environment and you've connected the habit trail tunnels between the various pods, okay, then it says research, right? Okay, so there's some research there too. So wouldn't those activities really be more entertainment purposes rather than scientific exploration?
I don't know. I was reading a little bit more about it, and they were talking about expanding of the settlement using some of the natural resources that are there. And I asked some people this question about, for example, can you build airtight, I guess it would be mud-like structures. You know, if you used rock, if you used dirt, you know, on Mars and mix it in some way, would you be able to keep oxygen in?
Right.
And I heard that would be possible, but I'm uncertain. So I'm just wondering, like, you know, yeah, how sustainable is this? And does this really need, what would it need to keep it going? At what point would it be able to be self-sustaining?
And I didn't see this yet, but I'm just kind of scanning through. What about jobs? You know, what about if people wanted to do other stuff when they're there? I mean, they could be writers. They could, you know, do other things when they're there.
That's true.
So, you know, once people are there, you know, then what?
Aside from doing the
general, you know, the household maintenance and stuff like that, or you know, I guess the part of it could be, could research be sponsored to say, okay, well, we've got four people on Mars right now, and you guys on Earth can compete with money for research dollars that would go toward them.
You're such an optimist, Michael. Here's what I'm thinking is going to go down, because again, this is all, you know, entertainment focused. It's going to end end up being like a Mad Max in the Thunderdome. We want warrior battles in the Batcave kind of thing. And yeah, whatever is going to get the most amount of eyeballs watching the show. Forget about research.
So not the the Arnold Schwarzenegger. What was the movie called again?
Total Recall.
Yeah, Total Recall with the tunnels under the planet, you know, mining for stuff.
Could be.
That could work, right? You could just say, okay, hey, you guys get to be miners.
Here's another thing. We don't even know what's on Mars yet. Like, we really don't know. I mean, we just got there and we're still digging around in a hole here and a hole there. I mean, what if there's life there? We're going to be sending these people in 2023. We don't even know what's out there yet.
That's true.
What if there's aliens that will suck their faces off? I mean, who knows what these people are going to be going into?
This is a commitment for your lifetime.
I know.
So just for argument's sake, you know, what if the financial entity that creates this, you know, decides that it's not feasible in the year 2027? Do they abandon the colony and say, hey, guys, you're on your own. Good luck.
I'm sure that everybody who goes is going to have to sign something saying, yep, that would be okay with me as long as I get to go.
and you know what? There probably are people who would say, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, over 1,000 applications already. And that was before the announcement. I'm sure there's well more now.
Yeah, wow. I was just looking at the form to receive the announcements and the like. And, you know, my wife had a problem with me driving a motorcycle. So I'm probably guessing this is probably not something I should give a lot of thought to.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. And then what if someone slips up and like they actually end up getting pregnant out there? Now what?
Well, then, you know, it'll be the first Virginia Dare of Mars, I guess, right?
I guess so. It's going to be interesting.
And they can say, man. Yes, Virginia, there is a Martian clause. I don't know.
I don't know. It will be interesting to see. And, you know, to think is so soon. Really, that is not far away at all. 2023, I mean, for goodness sake, are we really ready for it? Are we ready ethically as a people?
We've got the space station as something for people to be thinking about and how to manage, live, work there. And that can be for extended periods of time, too. I don't remember if people were up in the station for a year or more. I mean, I knew it's at least 6 months people do rotations there, maybe longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first question might be, why not the moon first? Why not some asteroids? Why not some other places? Lots of commercial opportunity when you think about it for what could be mined in these various places or, you know, using zero gravity to grow or create substances that are much more difficult to do on the Earth. And then you're paying, of course, for the transit of that, but that there may be elements that are economically feasible. I haven't thought about this so much. Oh, Michael, we're really sorry that you're missing this show because this is good. This is right up your alley.
I'd feel a lot better about this if it wasn't for the whole entertainment thing. Like, this is reality TV. That's the part that just makes me really nervous as to whether we're ready for this.
You could make a TV show. You could make a TV show about this TV show.
Wow.
How about that for a little bit of Escher metaism, huh?
I wouldn't put it past Hollywood. You just gave some people some ideas. It's all been faked.
Oh, yeah, well, it's funny because I was just, you know, looking. I think it was on Google Plus earlier this week. You know, there was another set of memes about moon landings and faking and whether the flag is waving and various TV quality, you know. Anyway, I had not seen this until you brought it to my attention, and this is just something else. Where did you learn about this, Vader?
Oh, I was in Singapore, and I was having lunch with a bunch of game developers out there, and this was the topic of conversation over the lunch table.
So how many of those game developers said, yeah, I've signed up?
None. They were like, no way, in fact.
How many of those game developers said, I'll sign somebody else up for them?
That's more like it.
They got 163 likes already.
That's it.
Cruising right along here. This is a beginning part of a meme here, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, well. I'm not surprised. It's astounding. Again, if it wasn't for the whole entertainment thing. But then again, I mean, I bet they'll get their funding this way.
So let's play a game, shall we? Let's play a game of what else could you fund?
Oh God!
Via entertainment.
What could you not fund?
Well, no, I know. But you know, this is obviously something. This is like a big deal, right? Let's say, Phaedra, that you and I really wanted to have a yacht that was even bigger and better than the one that was just recently completed for Steve Jobs and his family.
Mm-hmm.
Could we fund that via entertainment? Maybe we could use the same thing. It would be a party yacht, and we would have people apply to be on it, and we would have them, you know, learn to be, you know, various, you know, jobs for said yacht, and there could be a random selection of who would be in the owner's suite of it from time to time. That could be kind of fun.
That's true, and then you have all these themed parties. Yeah. That's possible.
It could be a resurrection of the Love Boat for those of you in the U.S. who remember that.
Matchmaking. Anybody who's got any relationship problems applies to be on the Love Boat yacht. And all of this is televised. And we're the matchmakers.
there you go. Yeah. And then we would have, you know, various interviews from time to time to say, yeah, have you sat with your partner under the waterfall of love and discussed with them your most important feelings.
And of course, all this is made for live TV.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, you know, that's where you go. And we would have people get voted on or off of the boat.
I like this. This might be the way I could get my sailboat that I've always wanted.
Yeah,
I like
that's what I'm thinking.
This is good. This is a good plan.
Okay, so what else could we do? Obviously, houses, you know, the major expenses, but houses work. You know, there are various contests and things for that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be big.
I can't get past Mars colonization for big right now.
No, that's pretty big. Okay, well, okay, let's reverse it. Let's have Atlantis One. We just do the same thing under the ocean.
Oh, that would be cool.
We just kind of flip it around.
Yeah, under the water.
So what was it? It was a bio. What was the biosphere? Was that the name of it?
Yep.
How'd that work out? That didn't work out all that well in the end, did it?
Which biosphere?
This is the bios. Hang on, biosphere, two in Tucson.
So oh,
biosphere two.
I don't remember what happened with that.
So let's check it out. Let's see how's that going right now.
The Biosphere 2 Science Research Facility.
First renovation since it was constructed. Like us on Facebook.
Is this the one that's closed? This is closed, right? People who go in don't come out?
That was the deal, but you can come in and out of this. It's certainly a whole heck of a lot easier to go in and out of the biosphere than it would be to come back from Mars.
Right.
With no power and no fuel. Yeah, so this one has 3,213 people liking it on Facebook and still exists. And apparently you can check it out on TripAdvisor even. Open 9 to 4 daily.
There's an interactive tour.
Okay, so that's still going.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess maybe it's a visiting center.
Well, maybe that will happen with Mars too one day. We can go and there'll be tours between the hours of 11 and 6 and only during the summer months.
So it kind of be like the old Salem, you know, part of Winston-Salem just happened to be on Mars.
There'll be swag, memorabilia.
Keychains, you know. We'll probably have astronaut ice cream there you can buy.
I know, my gosh. We're on the brink of something, Michael. We're on the brink of something.
It seems like we are frequently. So hey, I wanted to ask you if you've had any chance to play around with this Facebook social graph kind of stuff.
I haven't.
I haven't either, but I've been listening to it and I've been, you know, trying to kind of get more insight on it to figure out, okay, how friends and connections are used to help with better searches and what kind of information Facebook is using to kind of see and show this stuff. And part of the messages that I've been hearing through various channels is that you know, people are going, this is interesting. Is this a way for Facebook to do additional monetization of various aspects of insight and things that I've been posting in the environment, or is there some other stuff? You know, how's this helping me? How's this helping Facebook as a company? I'm eager to see much more about it, to see how the search works.
Speaking of Facebook, you know, I was just in Singapore for the past couple of weeks, and yes. Singapore is a very, very interesting place. Not only do they have some of the most spectacular architecture I've ever seen in the entire world. I mean, the Singaporeans never do anything half-assed. They put so much effort, so much thought, so much consideration into the smallest detail. But social networking is huge there. Mm-hmm. I mean, huge. Like the ads, the posters that you'll see out on the street, all talk about things like, you know, liking us on Facebook. I mean, they really just, you know, the businesses there have really, really tapped onto this in a big way in terms of the way they promote their wares. So it's just a fascinating place to visit if you've never gone there before.
Oh, I've been to Singapore several times, and I'm trying to remember that they have always been marketing themselves in Singapore as the intelligent island, and it's been very, you know, part of very thoughtful part of the government to foster that level of creativity and innovation. They're in such a great hub spot for all of Asia Pacific, you know, that's the claim to fame. And I remember, it was a long time ago that I saw this in Singapore, but they had like a cartoon character of a dog, and this dog had a cell phone on its collar. You know, it's like, you know, everybody was connected, and this cartoon dog had a cell phone too. So I thought that was, you know, pretty funny. So not surprising.
That's pretty funny. It's not. It's just a wonderful place. For all those who are listening who've never been, I highly suggest going and checking it out. I mean, Gardens by the Bay, the Night Safari, the zoo is one of the most amazing zoos I've ever been to in my life. Just a fantastic place.
Did you manage to get up on the one hill there? It's sort of in the top of Singapore where you can, you got a bit of a, what's the name of the island? There's a, I'm losing it now, but there's a hill up on top, and that's where they have the Harley Davidson Club.
Yes, I did go there. They've got like a little amusement park area.
Yeah.
Yes, I did go there, and I can't remember the name of it. I went there because they just opened the largest aquarium in the whole world there.
Ah, really?
Yes, and it is unbelievable. I love aquariums, and they had just an incredible exhibit. They had this one massive room full of manta rays. Just, I've never seen such a big tank before, ever. Beautiful, just beautiful.
All right, so I wonder if you might have a saving throw for today. I think I may have one, and I'd have to even find my dice, but I have one if you don't. Do you have a saving throw for today?
My saving throw is, if you feel you're resilient, adaptable, curious, you are very highly trusting, creative, or resourceful, please consider being one of the first astronauts to go and build a house on Mars. Start a colony. Do it in good faith. Represent us well to the rest of the Martians out there.
Humanity. Yes. Be the humanity.
Be the humanity. Be the humanity.
All right. Well, my saving throw is a couple of apps that I've been playing with here recently capture my attention for little snippets of time anyway. Aside from the Simpsons game, which I talk about already a few times here, has been Storm Raiders. And Storm Raiders is this iOS application that is a flight simulator for World War II planes. And it's not super, super realistic that you have to control every last aspect of your flaps and of your speed and everything like that. But it's for me, it's about as much simulation as I like. And it's got some fun, you know, capture the flag and some fun dogfighting kind of stuff to it. So I've been playing that. You even get to fly through a train tunnel in this game. So I think that's, you know, maybe not realistic, but it's kind of fun. And my other one that I'm consider a saving throw for me is I like to keep track of what's going on back in North Carolina. So I've recently discovered TuneIn Radio, and TuneIn Radio is a nice iOS application too that allowed me to bring in my local NPR station WUNC 91.5 982-9682, and be able to listen to what's going on there. So.
Well, you're missing the first snow of the season here in North Carolina, Michael. So I hope you're enjoying good weather out in Hungary.
Yes, we've had our snow here already a couple of times, and I can look out the window and see some still on the ground. Isn't it wintry mix? Is that the plan?
It is, but I'm looking out. I'm seeing fluffy white things. So this is good.
Oh, good, good, good. I know kids are happy.
Ice will hit. Oh, yeah. Kids are happy. Kids are thrilled.
All right. Well, with that, Michael, we miss you and hope that we are back in full strength again very, very soon. And with that, I guess we will bid you all a civil adieu.
Adieu. Good to talk to you.
Good
Have
to talk
a good
to you.
One.
Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and you can follow us at Twitter at GamesAtWork_BIZ. We'd like to thank the guys at Zebes Systems for their rocking version of the Moon Patrol game theme.